Okay, we got it going, and hopefully we can stop it and check it a little bit. We have William, Bill and Clara Williams today, and we'll start back when you first thought of coming to Northville.
Well, that was back in 1941, and at that time I was working for Davis Tool and Engineering, and Clarence Davis was one of the owners, and he persuaded me that I should come out and help with the church choir out here as a singer and later on as a choir director, which I did for 35 years. And I've enjoyed every minute of it. Now, during the time that I was with the music department there at the church, we also, with the aid of Charles, and what was her name? Charles Walker and his wife. That name escapes me, but they had visited England, and they heard a group of handbells being rung by some church over there, and they were interested, and they went to the foundry where they were made. And that was the Whitechapel Foundry in England. And they bought a set of 18 bells and had them shipped over to our church. And I believe our church was the second group that had, church group, that had handbells. And the first one, I believe, was a Lutheran church on East Detroit. But we were the second group to have a set of bells. And since then, we've had that number increased to 45. Plus, we have another set of bells that have come into our possession.
How do you go about teaching the use of handbells?
Well, it's, with children, the younger children, they learned by the letters. Each note is a letter, like F sharp or G sharp, and we just place those notes under the words of the song, and the words are the key to learning. They learn one verse of a song, a hymn, and then they associate their note with that word. However, the ringers that are presently playing the bells at the church are very qualified readers of music, so they don't require any special
It's always so pretty.
Well, they are like beautiful.
Definitely. They learn by notes. Uh-huh. We stopped it. Good. All right. It's ready. Your voice is coming through fine. Yeah.
Shall I go on?
Sure. No. Okay. Well, we finally moved out here in 1950. And I was told, as the wife of the family, to go out to our house that we had bought on Eaton Drive in Spring and stay there. And several members of our choir brought their cars to our house in Redford. And they took our clothes out of the closets and laid them in the cars. And they took things out of the drawers, the whole drawers, and they helped us move. And I told them where they went when they got there, so it really simplified our moving.
Oh, that's quite a good help.
we really enjoyed the choir. We had them out for a big Halloween party. We had our property had a big barn on it. And this was in Redford. Yes. And we had the whole choir out there. And we were told we had to have some fire alarm system or something to do if there was a fire in that barn. So we had it all set up with hoses from the house, one each end of the barn. And I'm sure the choir had a lot of fun.
How big would the choir have been? In
about 25.
I see.
We have a choir in all around 40.
Uh-huh. We have a wonderful director also now who we enjoy very much. And he's always very gracious and nice to us, and especially enjoys having Bill.
Mm-hmm. And you continue. Both of you are still,
both still singing.
Still singing.
Good.
The choir.
Okay.
And enjoying it. Okay. You want to stop a minute till we think?
Here.
I was born in Canada. Mm-hmm. Dundas, not Dundas, Stratford. My mother was born in Dundas. And I moved here when I was 5 years old, moved to Detroit, and went to the Trumbull Avenue Presbyterian Church there at Trumbull and Grand River until we were married. We were married there. And then at that time we moved. A year after that, we moved out to Northville. But when I was going to high school, I worked at Hudson's, and I worked when I was in the 10th grade, and until after I was married and had my first child at Hudson's, and I started out in the mailing room, walking all those 13 floors with mail, so I knew the Hudson's store from top to bottom. But then I worked in the radio department on the second floor, and finally up in the music department, where I ordered all the music and sang in the choir at Hudson's. And perhaps Bill will tell you something about his singing. Okay.
Well, my earliest singing was in Pennsylvania. Both my mother and dad were musicians. My dad was a director and composer of music. And when I was 12 years old, they allowed me to direct a children's choir of 45 voices. Of course, all I had to do was direct the music, direct the children's chorus. Most of them were just my own age.
Mm-hmm.
And they took care of all the arranging and carting us around. But that was the beginning of my music. And when I came to Detroit, I sang in a male quartet. It's called the Welsh Male Quartet. My dad was the second tenor, and Jim Richards was the first tenor, and Arvine Olsen was the bass. And we sang, well, we must have been together for 20 years.
Oh.
Same group.
Now, would you sing Welsh songs, or
well,
that was
no,
just your
no,
title?
These, yeah, it's, these, we were capable of singing the Welsh songs, but basically we sang pop songs, regular male chorus, mm-hmm. male numbers, male quartet songs.
Uh-huh.
And I also sang with the Little Church of the Air, WJR. And
about what year might that have been?
Well, that was in the 30s.
I see.
Coming back to working at Davis Tool, I was there for work with them for 42 years. And then I retired in 1972. Having a wonderful time playing golf and going fishing.
Traveling.
Yeah, we've done a lot of traveling.
Weren't you one of the original, the Northville Golf League?
Oh, yes, the Northville Golf League. I was...
When did that start?
I would say, I'll have to think back, I would say about 35 years ago, in the 30s,
mm-hmm.
late 30s, and I was the only charter member left for the last 5 or 6 years. The rest have either died or moved
mm-hmm.
away,
mm-hmm.
and unfortunately I've found it necessary to drop that this year.
Mm-hmm. Were they mainly men in the various businesses around Northville, or was it a little bit of everything?
Well, mainly the business around Northville, but we had fellows from the Detroit area, Plymouth,
mm-hmm.
that needed a league to join, and
mm-hmm.
they found out we were available.
Mm-hmm. That's going a good many years. What kind of? It's okay. We can just let it roll. What was in when you went to school with for music? What was your major
in school?
Yeah. In was it piano or voice or something of that sort?
Well, I think I started in piano when I was about 15,
uh-huh.
and I went to the Detroit Conservatory on Woodward. And took a number of lessons there, a couple of years. And then after we were out here in Northville, I started playing the organ. That would be about 1956 or about that time. The church organ in Northville.
Mm-hmm.
And I played the organ for 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, I also gave piano lessons. That when my children were in high school, after they were.
Well, you also visited. Went to Wayne.
Yeah, I went back to Wayne University and took organ and theory and piano. And I decided when I was going to retire that I wanted Bill to have a good special organist, and I went over to Ann Arbor and talked to them about their students. I had heard that they sent their students out to churches to help their tuition, and so we started having students, and I think we've done very well. We've had wonderful young people.
You still continue that?
Yes.
Yes, we do.
Uh-huh.
Now they stay as long as they want to, uh-huh. and then when they decide to leave, well, we just say we need another organist.
Mm-hmm. Usually they'll graduate with a degree and
right.
then go somewhere else, maybe
uh-huh.
go to Europe. Or
sure.
And our present organist is, his name is Jeff Falder. I believe he's working on his
doctorate
right now.
To anyone who may be interested, we plan on doing the Elijah in October.
This fall.
And if it's anything like the ones we've had, everyone will enjoy it,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure. We've given several Messiah
is that an annual thing?
Well,
or
we
don't plan to do it this year.
I see.
The Elijah will take its place.
There used to be a men's choir or some group Rosella Lee talked about. Were you ever involved in that? It was sort of all men. Or all, it was a community. That's the word I want.
Well, it's the this was the male chorus that through the years we've always on special occasions just had a group of men from the church, and like for Mother's Day or two or three times during the year, the men took over a particular Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
That was really the only, well, it was the Plymouth Choraliers. That was a group from Plymouth. I sang with them while they were in existence. They've disbanded now, but there was the Choraliers, Plymouth Choraliers was a male group. And they were not really barber shoppers, but they were affiliated with the Male Choruses of America. It's a national group. They were affiliated with that. And during the years that I was with the choir, every spring, and we did this for about 12 years, we'd have a spring concert up at the high school, using the high school auditorium. And we'd get talent from different parts of the state. Sometimes we'd have barbershoppers, like the woman's group.
Sweet Adeline.
The Sweet Adeline, yes. Yeah. They would give a concert.
Would this be competition or just
entertainment? No, this is strictly a concert.
Uh-huh.
And they would have different male choruses. The Chevrolet Glee Club, the General Motors Glee Club, the Wyandotte Glee Club. We've had all those out during those years to put on concerts. And at each of these concerts, the bell ringers that were under my direction, the children mostly, they performed at those concerts. And they would have anywhere from 15 to 18 songs all memorized. They didn't use music. And we had one program that we gave at WXYZ, the bell ringers. It was a time around Christmas. Well, I don't even remember the year now.
I don't either.
It's been quite a while.
But they did perform.
You know, all these kids have grown up and married.
That would be TV.
Children of their own.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, this is a TV program.
I see. Mm-hmm. Have you started on a second generation teacher? With bell ringers or anything like that, or
Jeff has done that.
No,
uh-huh.
I sort of dropped completely
uh-huh.
out of that,
uh-huh. well,
leaving it up to Jeff because
uh-huh.
we're on the move so much that I can't get really involved in that because it
uh-huh.
ties you down
uh-huh.
when you get involved that way.
But you do give the men's chorus. Direct the men's
yes.
course, yeah,
occasionally.
Once or twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
That way you don't lose your touch, right?
Yeah, right. Right. Well, we're both singing every day. Whether we're here or wherever we are, we always manage to join the choir wherever we are.
That's a good way of getting to know people.
Right.
We're pretty involved in teaching our grandchildren piano. We have two now.
Uh-huh.
But they're also taking lessons from Jeff. But Grandma works with him at home as well, and they're doing fine.
Great.
We have one that's 11 and one that's 15.
We're going to continue this musical tradition, right?
We hope.
Well,
at least they'll appreciate it.
They'll never be sorry that they've learned it.
Right.
It's sort of a grind while they're learning it, but when they get older, they'll appreciate it. I'm sure they will. It usually works out for anyone.
Mm-hmm. Seems like you went to was Wales?
Wales. Well, that was.
And was it competition or something you went to listen to? Or?
Just to listen. No,
tell me about that. Yeah, that sounds interesting.
Tell them about your grandfather.
What about your grandfather?
Well, my grandfather was also a choir director and composer, and did a lot of competing with his choirs in what are called eisteddfods. It's a Welsh word for competitive singing, and right now in the town of Llangollen, which is on the border of England and Wales, they have they've invited all the countries of the world. This is the 41st year that it's been. Well, this will be the 43rd year. It was the 41st year when we were there 2 years ago. Originally, way back 43 years ago, after the First World War, they tried to think of some method of promoting world peace. So they decided upon this method of having these competitive music meets and inviting the whole world to participate, and they are very successful in these different countries, all the way from Australia and South America, all the Balkan countries. They send soloists and choirs, musicians, to the eisteddfod, and it lasts for a week. Every day for a week, from 9 in the morning until 10 in the evening. And then at the end of the meet, they have what are called adjudicators who give their opinion as to who was the best, and they're very thorough in their judging of the talents, and at the end of the meeting they will judge who is the best choir, the best soloist. And then they will have, on a Sunday night, which will be the last day, all the best talent are combined to put on a concert on a Sunday night, which is really, it's quite an experience.
The choirs are held in a huge tent.
They're outside.
Yes,
outside.
The tent is capable of handling 6,000 people.
And
they'll have just about that many.
Yes. And they, all the different people that come from all over, they're put up in either churches or schools or houses. And it's a small community. It's not a big city at all. It's just a small town. But they're capable of handling and being hostess and to these people.
Something to hear.
It is.
Oh, it's thrilling. They are just perfect. They adjudicators always compliment them and say the things that are nice before they tell them, well, you're a little weak here, a little weak there. They don't do it in a negative way at all. And they are all, I would have a terrible time trying to choose because they're just all perfect.
Well, they have dancing as well as as well as singing or instrumentals. Mm-hmm. There's no limit to anything pertaining to the arts is acceptable. But it has to be done in a competitive manner. In other words, you have to have 2, 3, or 4 vying for the same same position. Being a singleton, why it wouldn't be a compete.
Right, yeah. We started out with your grandfather, and do they award the directors?
With the...
did they?
When a choir would win, rather than give them money, they would give the director a chair, and this chair is... very large piece of furniture, very ornate, carved. It's really
a church chair.
It's similar to a chair that you would see in a church.
Right.
And this is that was the. And he ended up. I think he must have had about 12 chairs. And he has.
Your friend too, and we saw them.
Two that we saw, but he had more than that.
Yeah,
through the years.
It was exciting to see those chairs.
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
That were awarded to him. And you say that he gave them to the church?
Yes.
Churches.
Mm-hmm. Oh. When we were there, we only saw 2 chairs.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And that was the only church we visited. And that was in the town where my father was born. In Tanagrisha, and the schoolhouse where he went to school is now a club. Now, what kind of a club it is, I don't know. But it's a private, private club, but taken using the schoolhouse, and all the buildings over there are made of stone. Walls and slate roofs. Slate is one of the things they quarry over there. Like every place else, you use materials at hand.
Sure.
And this is what they have plenty of.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait.
You want to come back to Northville? That was interesting. Yeah, I like that.
But yes, it's our background. That's
right.
Sure.
Well, that tells how you got into music, really.
Right.
And everything.
Yeah, in 1968, we moved into this house, which belonged to Catherine and Wilbur Johnson, who were very instrumental also in building our church or helping our church. And we had my mother living with us, so we're now on 370 Orchard, and it was just about 2 blocks away from where we lived before. But we have enjoyed this house in the big backyard,
In the garden.
In the garden.
Right.
And lived here ever since. We lived in on Eaton Drive 17 years before we moved over here. After our family was gone.
But the house has proven invaluable. Whenever the children come back to visit, we have plenty of room to put them up.
Sure. Oh, and lots of yard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. Enjoy that. It's, yeah, it's very pleasant.
Right.
Okay.
Have you seen the church grow through the years?
Certainly have.
Especially in the last few years, along with the way the city has grown.
Uh-huh.
The outskirts.
Right. And they're redoing all the older parts of the church, and we're both in favor of that very much, mm-hmm. because it's a fine church, and we're right in the middle of town, and we need to be updated, mm-hmm. which they're doing.
In fact, Edison is over there today putting in a transformer that we've sorely needed for many years.
Our air conditioning.
Right now it's the air conditioning that needs this service.
Uh-huh. And we were all told last Sunday that pray for that to get going, and evidently it has.
Yeah, they arrived today to put the transformer. They still have to get the hookup made. Mm-hmm. Transformer is just the one piece of equipment mm-hmm. that is planted, mm-hmm. and then everything is hooked to it. So hopefully by Sunday we'll have the air on.
Well, you've seen quite a few changes in the Presbyterian.
Three different changes.
Boy, the church was torn down, you know, several years ago.
The sanctuary.
Oh yes, the sanctuary. The fellowship hall and the Sunday school section are as they were originally built. But the church has been razed, torn down, and rebuilt, and the appointments on the inside are completely reversed to what they were. Mm-hmm. What was the front is now the back.
Mm. The organ was all done over with the first renovation, pretty much. Electrified. I don't exactly know what it was like before that, because I wasn't in on that, but that was really a time to have it electrified and made easier to play.
I don't know much about what, how were you affected that much?
Just with the music, just singing. With the choir.
Uh-huh. And I was thinking of the organ, with electrifying. You said it was hard.
Well, I'm assuming that. I never tried to play it.
I see.
It was originally a tracker organ, and then electrified so that it was very easy to play.
I see.
So it was the same console from the beginning, but added to.
Mm-hmm.
In both, the three renovations, it was all added to.
I think that just about covers the waterfront.
All right, thank
Is
you.
Is there anything we haven't covered?
Well, there'd be anything you can think of. You want to add?
Our son, Tucker, was called in Northville. He's Tom now. He graduated in the first graduating class of the high school.
First building of the high school.
Mm-hmm. We have a second building mm-hmm. just now. But I remember going up the hill to the high school and slippy sliding on this bus that they took us up in. The cars couldn't even get up there.
Well, they they prohibited the cars from even going up in there because of the muddy mm-hmm. condition.
But they wanted to have the graduation in the
buses first could handle it.
School. Of course, all our children, the three children, went to all the different schools mm-hmm. in Northville.
Well, thank you.
Oh, okay.